What it do, baby? Welcome back to Clown Questions, the show where there are no dumb questions. I'm your host, Matt K. Maurer, and the question I'm asking today is a doozy. Is Justin Tucker the new Deshaun Watson? I'll attempt to answer that question. In addition to some other questions, we'll have a first interruption with Mr. Cameron Newton. I'll do a pick for the Pro Bowl, I guess. But fun little show for y'all today. Just me again. The king will be here soon. The king and his buddy Chris wants to do the state of the Buck. So that'll be coming up soon. We'll get some guests back soon. But yeah, for now, who's down to clown?
That's a clown question, bro.
So is Justin Tucker the new Deshaun Watson? Yes, I think. Probably, maybe. There's been allegations. There hasn't been much of an investigation. It's, you know, haven't gone to court yet. No conviction. But there are six different allegations. Justin Tucker has been accused of, quote, inappropriate behavior by six different massage therapists. Maybe not quite as egregious as Deshaun Watson, because I think there were 20 plus massage therapists in Deshaun Watson's sexual abuse case. We're definitely going to have one here with Justin Tucker that will be investigated. Now, Justin Tucker did release a statement today. He called these allegations, quote, unequivocally false. He's denying it, but calling it unequivocally false, isn't that exactly what Deshaun Watson said when those allegations started coming out against him? Real quick, I skipped through the show notes. I skipped over the show notes. If you're listening to this, you might notice the audio's a little better. And that's because I'm an idiot. I am stupid. I had the microphone turned the wrong way. I had it turned the other way because it showed the little green button. I thought it looked cool. But it was backwards. Why would the buttons be facing the camera? The buttons should be facing me because I can control these little guys. I can do the cough button where I can mute. Actually, I was muted for that whole thing. See, the mute button works. But yeah, I'm dumb. It has, I guess, a cardioid pattern, which means the front and the sides. The back did not have good audio, and that's what I had been talking into for the last six podcasts. So I apologize for being dumb. And thank you again, John and Anna, for this microphone. It's working great. But back to the heinous question I'm opening the show with. Is Justin Tucker the new Deshaun Watson? Yeah, probably. Like I said, he called him unequivocally false, but that's what they all say. That's what everyone says when they have allegations like, oh, I wasn't at the Diddy party. It's like, okay, yeah, but that's exactly what someone who is at the Diddy party would say. Like I said, we haven't had enough of an investigation for me to really know if it's true, but I saw an old tweet resurface, Flaming Hot Takes at They Already Knew on Twitter, reposted this tweet from the year 2021. So, you know, 3 to 4, almost 4 years ago at this point. It's a tweet from Young MC at MC's Burner on X, the Everything app. Shut up, Elon. It's Twitter. Change it back. Sorry, I'm getting off topic. But the tweet from this young woman from 2021 read, Justin Tucker is canceled, but it's not my place to provide the reason. Let's just say he's been told by many massage places to never come back. If that's not a smoking gun, I don't know what is. That seems pretty clear. It would be one hell of a coincidence to tweet something like that, and then the allegations come out 4 years later. So I'm kind of thinking Justin Tucker did this, and I am thinking he's the new Deshaun Watson, both because of his love for inappropriate behavior at massage parlors, and because he's fallen off. He had maybe the worst year of his career this year, and I don't feel bad saying that when I know he's probably a predator here. But NFL memes, well-known news source, they're now reporting that the Cleveland Browns are sending multiple first-round picks to Baltimore in exchange for Justin Tucker. So here we go with the Browns again. They love those massages. They're the Bob Kraft of NFL teams. You know, they had that fan with a heinous thing pregame before Deshaun Watson's first ever Browns game. He had a massage table with like a dummy on it. Just disgusting. But yeah, I hate to say it, but Justin Tucker, you are the new Deshaun Watson. And yeah, if these are true, I hope you never kick another ball ever again. Or actually, you know what? I hope you kick for another 4 years, but you're horrible. And you kick so poorly that you're not in the Hall of Fame. If true, if these are false allegations, Justin Tucker's a legend, Hall of Famer. But if they're true, I hope he doesn't make the Hall of Fame. I think that's fair. But yeah, let's move on from a very grim report we got today. Let's move on to my next question. What's new in the association? The association I'm talking about is obviously the National Basketball Association. We had a lot of stuff happen this past week. Unfortunately for the Atlanta Hawks, Jalen Johnson, he is done for the year. He needs shoulder surgery. So, yeah, they're going to have a tough time getting out of the play-in game a year. When, you know, the annual Hawks-Bulls play-in game every year that is never cinema. Hopefully one day it'll be, but without Jalen Johnson, it'll be the Trae Young show. Not that it wasn't already, but yeah, tough losing one of your best players there for the Hawks. As far as the Sacramento Kings go, I don't have any injuries to report on there, but I am reporting, you know, I saw the report somewhere, but I'm reporting now that the Kings have put De'Aaron Fox on the trade block. Pretty interesting. I don't know why they would want to trade him. He's their best player, or, you know, some might argue second best player. Domantas Sabonis is pretty damn good. But yeah, it'll be interesting. Maybe we see a little De'Aaron Fox for Jimmy Butler trade. I don't think Jimmy Butler wants to go to Sacramento, but probably doesn't have a choice at this point, because that leads perfectly to my next point about the association. Jimmy Butler has been suspended again. Again. I said he got suspended again last week, and now I'm saying it again. So this is the third time this season he has been suspended. The Heat announced this suspension is indefinite. He is suspended indefinitely. We don't know how long it will be. My assumption is the suspension will be just the remainder of his Heat career, and then they'll trade him, and you know, no one's going to suspend him after trading for him because they're going to need him for a playoff push. But as far as this suspension goes, per Shams Charania, someone please tell me how to pronounce it, Butler walked out of the team shoot-around after the team informed him he was being benched for Haywood Highsmith. No hate for Haywood Highsmith. I don't know much about him, but he's clearly, you know, he's not Jimmy Butler. So Jimmy Butler just took that as disrespect, and he walked out of the shoot-around. Tough for Jimmy, but yeah, he really, really does not want to be there. I don't know how he hasn't been traded sooner. I guess the Heat are just haven't found the return they want yet. But apparently, his latest suspension will cost him $2.7 million. These, you know, games he's been suspended have cost him over a total of $5 million. But I don't think Jimmy cares that much about the money. I think he wants one of these rings. Not that I have any rings. Well, I do have a fantasy baseball ring. I got to get that made so I can flex. No, it's not. Is winning fantasy baseball really flex? I'm getting off topic. I had a question for y'all about Kevin Love. Is Kevin Love still on the Heat? Based on Wikipedia and ESPN, it says he is still on the Heat, as far as I know. But he keeps trolling everyone on Instagram. He's like come to Jimmy Butler's defense. Jimmy Butler posted some clip from the the Fresh Prince of Bel Air. I'd break it down, but I forget what it was. But basically just memeing and trolling the team that continues to suspend him. And he tagged Kevin Love in that. Kevin Love's been doing a very similar thing on Instagram, posting memes, making fun of this whole Jimmy Butler situation. But yeah, the third suspension for Butler, I don't even know really what to say at this point. Actually, I do. Jimmy Butler, you are a Los Angeles Laker. We will give you Dalton Connect, a first, and Bronny James Jr. That's a fair deal, right? That's a fair deal. But enough on Jimmy Butler. You're all probably sick of hearing me talk about him week after week. Other NBA news, the Nets are retiring number 15 for Vince Carter. Clap it up for Vince Carter. I think that's the second team he's had his jersey retired for. The Raptors did it earlier in the year. And the Warriors are going to retire Andre Iguodala's jersey. Number 9 will be up in the rafters. The Iguodala retiring kind of took me by surprise a little bit, but he's a finals MVP, so he's obviously very deserving. He was there before Steph. He was there with Steph and KD and won all these championships. Side note, Iguodala should not have won finals MVP. He won finals MVP because they won that series. Curry kind of got bottled up a little bit by Matthew Dellavedova, so they gave it to Iguodala, who didn't have great stats, but apparently was playing great defense. I'm saying this with air quotes on LeBron James, who averaged 38, 12, and 8 in that series. You're giving the finals MVP to the guy that held someone to 38, 12, and 8, one of the most ridiculous stat lines in a series, let alone an NBA finals series. That should have been one of the few NBA finals where the losing team has the NBA finals MVP. LeBron got robbed. He should have won that finals MVP. He was the best player in that series, but they didn't win, so they gave it to Iguodala. Sorry, that's a side note. Although LeBron kind of got his revenge on the block, or, you know, aka Lee Block. Last thing on the NBA before my next question that's also about the NBA is Mac McClung is the final dunk contest participant. Finally, giving the people what they want, getting one of the best dunkers in the world. I don't know. One of the most entertaining dunkers. He won the last two back-to-back. If Mac McClung wins the dunk contest this year, he would be the first ever three-peat in the dunk contest. I think he gets it done. I got to go to Pottawatomie and see if they're taking bets on that, because I think it's a lock. I would love to see the Bucks, Andre Jackson Jr., win it. That would be pretty cool for Milwaukee. Not that I'm a Bucks fan. I am a Lakers fan, but yeah, good move by the NBA to put Mac McClung in there. Even though he might not be playing much in the league, he's still the biggest draw, the most, you know, entertaining guy in terms of dunks. Continuing on in the NBA with my next question, who got snubbed? The All-Star reserves were announced for the NBA. I'm not going to go through and list those, but I'll just tell you who got snubbed. The first guy being LaMelo Ball. Apparently he was first in the league in fan vote. No fans voted for him more than any other player. So that's a huge snub in my opinion. Tyler Hero is an All-Star, one of the reserves. And LaMelo had better stats. He averaged more points, more assists. The only thing Tyler Hero averaged more in was, I think, rebounds, and he averaged like 0.3 more rebounds. So LaMelo overall had better stats than Hero, and LaMelo's not in the All-Star game. LaMelo snubbed. Trae Young, another snub. He leads the league in assists. How does leading the league in assists not get you to the All-Star game? I don't know. Another one, Kyrie Irving. Not going to go into his stats, but perhaps the biggest snub, in my opinion, is Domantas Sabonis. This guy is a double-double machine. I know the Kings aren't, you know, great this year. De'Aaron Fox was potentially another snub, but Sabonis is one of the most dominant big men in the league. I was shocked when I saw he was not an All-Star. But no one really cares about the All-Star game that much. No one cares about the Pro Bowl. So let's talk some baseball, what people really care about with this next question. Who made a deal? The Pirates tried to make a deal with an 11-year-old kid. This 11-year-old kid rejected their offer. So they did not make a deal. There were other deals made in the MLB. I'll get to those in a second. But this 11-year-old kid rejected an offer of 30 years of Pirates season tickets in exchange for one baseball card, one rare Paul Skeens rookie card. I have no idea how much it's worth. If you get offered 30 years of season tickets, clearly it's worth, you know, north of $100,000, a ridiculous amount, whatever it may be. And this 11-year-old had maybe, you know, maybe his parents helped him with this decision, but I think I saw this viral video, the kid opening the card, and he was freaking out, losing his mind, and I didn't really understand it at the time. I'm like, yeah, it's cool. I guess this is a rare card. It's one of one. It's the only rare Paul Skeens card, most probably expensive card in baseball right now. This 11-year-old kid said, no, you know, I love Pirates baseball. I'd love 30 years of season tickets, but I'd rather have this one baseball card. Shout out to that kid. I'm praying Paul Skeens doesn't get hurt, because if he stays healthy and has the career we all expect him to have, that card's going to keep going up and up in value. Maybe it'll reach the rare Honus Wagner card, which I believe is the most expensive card in any sport. So shout out to that 11-year-old for rejecting an insane offer. I was talking to my dad about it. He was like, I would just talk to the Pirates and give them a counter offer. Instead of 30 years of season tickets, give me whatever the monetary value of that is. So, you know, give me 200, give me half a mil, and I'll give you the card. I would have taken that deal. I don't know if I would have taken 30 years of like Brewers season tickets or Bucks or Packers. I would have accepted that in a heartbeat. This 11-year-old's smarter than me. He probably knows what that card is really worth, and it's worth a lot. But yeah, as far as other deals that were made in MLB, the Cubs traded for pitcher Ryan Pressly. I'd wish you luck, Ryan, but I'm a Brewers fan. You're on the Cubs now, so I hope we hit 19 home runs off of you next year. Another deal was the Dodgers signing Kirby Yates to a one-year $13 million deal. I feel like every week I get on here and talk about another Dodgers free agency signing. Do they have infinite money? It seems like they have infinite money. I guess the whole reason that their salary cap seems infinite is because of that Shohei Ohtani contract. You're thinking in the back of your head $70 million a year, but no, it's $2 million a year, $68 million 10 years from now. So I that gives them a ton of flexibility. I don't know if he's a genius. I don't know if that's making him money. He might be losing some money with inflation there and possibly investing that. But smart move by Shohei, because he knows it'll lead to more championship opportunities. I don't know. I feel like I need to go to the nearest casino and bet on the Dodgers to win the World Series expeditiously. But I don't know. I feel like that those odds keep getting worse and worse the more they build this super team. So we'll see. Hopefully I win this bet that's on the whiteboard over here. Chiefs over Eagles. If I hit that, maybe I take a little bit of that and sprinkle it on the Dodgers. Let's get through the rest of these signings. Ha-Seong Kim has signed a two-year, $29 million deal with the Rays. Shout out Ha-Seong. He was on my fantasy baseball championship team. So you love to see that for the talented shortstop. The Royals are signing Carlos Estevez, another guy who's been on some of my teams. Great closer, great reliever, one of the best closers in the game in my humble or not humble opinion. Last MLB deal here is the Blue Jays. This happened today or yesterday if you're listening to it tomorrow. They signed three-time Cy Young winner Max Scherzer to a one-year $15 million deal. Hopefully the Blue Jays can make some noise. I'll root for anyone that plays the Yankees as much as a team in the AL East does each year. Let me hit this vape, regrettably, because I told you a couple shows ago that I'm quitting vaping. I'll get there. This isn't a vape. It's It's weed. No, it's not weed. It is a vape. I'm sorry. Let me work on it. That's my first resolution. My New Year's resolution was to have more goals. That was the first goal, quit nicotine. But let's talk about some more basketball with the WNBA. Why is WNBA free agency going crazy? There's been so many trades, signings in this past week. It's been hard to keep up with. First one I heard from Shams. Someone tell me. But it was a blockbuster WNBA deal. The Seattle Storm have traded 6-time All-Star Jewel Lloyd to the Las Vegas Aces in a multi-team trade that sends 3-time All-Star Kelsey Plum to the Los Angeles Sparks. Shout out Nemo, your Sparks get legend Kelsey Plum. And yeah, shout out to the Aces who might get back to the championship here with a 6-time All-Star and Jewel Lloyd. Rest of this trade, the Storm received the number 2 pick in this upcoming 2025 draft, as well as Lee Euro, hopefully that was pronounced correctly, from the Sparks. There's other draft picks involved in the trade as well. The Sparks are getting pick 9. The Aces are getting pick 13. Tough for me to break down the trade much when I have never watched Jewel Lloyd play. I haven't really watched much of Kelsey Plum play either. But Kelsey's one of the most popular players. That's probably because she won back-to-back titles with the Las Vegas Aces. But seems like a win-win for a lot of these teams. The Storm are a terrible team, so they're going to need to rebuild. So that number 2 pick will be very helpful. Maybe they can turn it into a superstar, Juju Watkins. We'll see what happens there. As far as another trade, we have the Phoenix Mercury acquiring 5-time All-Star Alyssa Thomas from the Connecticut Sun. Thomas has finished in the top 5 of MVP voting each of the last 3 seasons. Again, didn't know Alyssa Thomas, but when I heard she was a MVP candidate each of the last 3 seasons, I knew the Mercury got a good one. And the Atlanta Dream got a good one. A legend, a Hall of Famer, Brittany Griner, a 10-time All-Star, has signed a deal with the Atlanta Dream, the Dream's new big woman. And another person that signed with the Dream was 3-time All-Star Breonna Jones. Don't know her either. And I don't know Courtney Vandersloot. She's a 5-time All-Star, and she signed a 1-year deal with the Sky. I think the Sky are my team. I'm a big Angel Reese supporter. But yeah, unfortunate name for Courtney. I wonder, middle school could not have been pretty for Courtney Vandersloot. High school and college for that matter either. Anytime Sloot is in your name. But she's probably not promiscuous with when you got Sloot in your name, you probably take it easy a little bit. Stupid commentary, from me on the WNBA, but I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to get all these names in my head. I'm trying to follow it. I won't be following the Unrivaled. I guess that's like a 3v3 women's league with a lot of professional players playing, but there will be an Unrivaled clip in the Goosebump Moments of the Week, so stay tuned for that. Last question here for y'all is, can I be done with coach news? No, I can't. I kind of opened up a bag of worms that I didn't want to by naming every single head coach, DC and OC, that get hired. So I'll go rapid fire through them. The Cowboys are hiring their own offensive coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer, to be their next head coach. I'd like to get on a Nemo and the Clownfish soon and talk about the state of the Cowboys with Nemo. He said Pete Carroll is the only person who could bring him back to the Cowboys. So I don't think Brian Schottenheimer is doing it for him. But I don't know. Their offense played well with Cooper Rush most of the year. So Schottenheimer doesn't seem like he'll make the worst coach ever. The Lions have promoted from within to fill their defensive coordinator role. They promote linebacker coach Kelvin Shepard. Don't know him. I'm going to move on. The Jets are hiring Broncos assistant GM Darren Mogi as their GM. That one's, again, weird to me because they hired the coach and then they hired the GM. Why wouldn't you hire the GM first? I guess because the coaches go quicker. That's I think that's why you gotta go after those coaches, because they get signed quick. You know, Ben Johnson, it took him all of 2 days after being eliminated from the playoffs to become the Bears' new head coach. So I guess you gotta scoop up the coach and get the GM later. But I don't know, might not be on the same page. So it could be a tough thing to do. As far as the rest of these bullet points, the Seahawks are hiring former Saints OC Clint Kubiak to serve in the same role. Everyone remembers the first 2 weeks of the Saints. They put up 40 points a game. So I'm sure the Seahawks offense will be totally fixed. I'm sure there were no problems with the Saints offense the rest of the year, you know, after putting up 80 to 100 points in their first two games. DaBears are next. They hire former Saints head coach Dennis Allen from the aforementioned Saints, who fell off a cliff after week two, to be their new defensive coordinator. The Bears are also hiring former Broncos tight end coach Declan Doyle as the new OC. I don't know Declan Doyle, but I feel like he's going to be a good offensive coordinator, because any offensive coordinator whose name is an alliteration, I feel like they have success. Declan Doyle, Clint Kubiak, Cliff Kingsbury. I don't know. Anytime your name's an alliteration, I feel like you make a good offensive coordinator. Don't ask me why. Let me finish this out. A couple more. Lions hire former Broncos pass game coordinator John Morton as their offensive coordinator. Seems like a good hire there. Bo Nix was balling out. Will probably be the runner-up and rookie of the year. Yeah, Brock Bowers. But, yeah, that's what I got for that. And the Cowboys hire Matt Eberflus as their new defensive coordinator. I'm not laughing at the Cowboys or Matt Eberflus. I'm laughing because I'm thinking back to that Thanksgiving Day game where Matt Eberflus forgot to call a timeout and ended the game with 0 seconds when he easily could have called a tee, and he didn't. But last hire, the Jets hire Steve Wilks as their defensive coordinator. I think he coached the Cardinals a couple years back. But yeah, no analysis, and I think in the future I'm maybe going to just stick to head coach hires, because it's, you know, I'm just rattling off news, and when I don't know anything about them, why should I bring it up? I don't know. I did that with the WNBA too, but I don't know. I try to, it's not a news show, but I like to try to include as much of the news as I can. Here's some more non-news from today or yesterday. Was with Cam Newton. That will be this week's first year interruption with Mr. Cam Newton, Super Cam. He was on ESPN's First Take show, and they were talking about what's more impressive, an MVP or a Super Bowl. And Stephen A. asked Cam Newton which one he'd rather have, and you might be surprised to hear what he says. So here's first year interruption with Cam Newton.
In the case of Lamar Jackson, for example, as we sit here today, we know how great he is. We know how phenomenal he is. We know that he's worthy of MVP consideration, if not achievement. But nevertheless, it doesn't matter. It pales in comparison to a championship. We've got a former league MVP right here on the set right now in Cam. I ask you, Cam, if you could give back that league MVP for a Super Bowl championship, would you do it?
Nope.
Oh.
Really?
Really?
Wow.
Because you have to ask it through this lens. That was a very journalistic viewpoint or vantage point or response, Stephen A. Ask you this question, and, you know, just to pose this thought, what's more important, impact or championships? You look at a guy like Allen Iverson, or you stood up on the table and blah, 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 blah. Everybody's not going to be Michael Jordan. Everybody's not going to be Patrick Mahomes. Everybody's not going to be these individuals who have the luxury of saying, hey, I not only dominated this sport, but I also have championships to back it. Like, let me remind you, Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Respectfully, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. So, yes, when you look at those guys and you say, okay, what's more important? Would you have preferred to win a Super Bowl? I think that that's the humble approach, but if we're being honest, the impact of you holding yourself accountable to say everybody has a responsibility to do, and you can say as an MVP award winner or an All-American, you've held yourself or you've held your end of the bargain down. And that's what it really comes down to for me. I know that's not the popular pick. I'm trying to be popularized. But my take is I'm taking individual success because I did my job. Football is not about one guy trying to do 11 jobs. Mm-hmm. It's 11 guys doing one job.
I respect everything that you're saying. It sounds like what you're saying is you think that it would be more impressive, the MVP.
He's saying, I can sleep at night with my MVP because I know I did my job. Well, Cam, maybe you didn't do your job. I don't know who remembers the 2015 season. The Panthers went 15-1. Cam Newton won the MVP, willed the Panthers to the Super Bowl. And in that Super Bowl, what happened? Oh, Von Miller won MVP, and Cam Newton infamously, hesitantly reached for a fumble instead of just falling on top of the ball. Many people would argue that cost them the game. So, Cam, maybe your job there was to recover the fumble. But someone on Twitter said that if it was an MVP trophy on the turf there instead of a football, maybe he would have fallen on it. But yeah, I gotta respectfully disagree with Cam Newton here. Cam's one of my favorite players of all time. Ever since he came into the league, I've been a fan. I defended him vehemently. He was in one of the first ever first year interruptions. It was with his podcast, and I think I named like 67 quarterbacks worse than Cam Newton right now, despite the fact that he's retired. But yeah, I got to disagree with you there, Cam. Super Bowl trophies are better than MVP trophies. He said, respectfully, Nick Foles. Nick Foles was in the MVP conversation one year, but I guarantee you if he had won the MVP that year and he had to choose between the Super Bowl trophy or the MVP trophy, he'll take the Super Bowl trophy every time. I'll take a Super Bowl MVP trophy every time over a MVP trophy. But I get it. Cam's, you know, he'd rather have that impact. He has one of the largest impacts in the NFL as one of the, if not the greatest runner of the football from a quarterback perspective ever. But yeah, I can't agree with you there, Cam. Give me the Super Bowl, give me the NBA title, the World Series, any day of the week over the MVP. But yeah, you have impact, Cam, but you don't have a Super Bowl trophy, unfortunately. I hope Cam Newton never sees this clip. I do not want the smoke at all. Cam, come on the show. He'll never see this. But let's go to the goosebump moments of the week. We got some decent moments this week. And this is the goosebump moments of the week. Everyone's favorite moment of the week, blah, blah, blah. At number 10, I guess we'll do Harrison Butker's game-winning field goal in the AFC Championship game.
For the lead, Butker from 35, dead center. Now 11 for 11 in his career in the postseason in the fourth quarter or overtime.
Number 9, Miles Kelly hits a clutch corner three as Auburn goes on to beat Tennessee.
Kelly from the corner knocks it down, and Auburn is on top.
Number 8, Brittany Griner hits the fallaway jumper for the win as the Phantom win.
Fallaway jumper, night, Phantom wins.
Number 7, Saquon Barkley with an unbelievable 60-yard touchdown run on the first play from scrimmage for the Eagles.
Double.
Wow.
Gets it, Saquon Barkley. First down. Barkley. Oh! Saquon. Touchdown.
Number 6, Emmanuel Sharp gets the steal and hits the three to force double OT for Houston.
Shoot a three. Wilson. Oh! And we are tied.
Number 5, Amen Thompson hits the game winner off 1 foot as the Rockets beat the Celtics.
Got the shot. Oh!
7 to go. Thompson gives the Rockets the lead.
Are you kidding me?
Richard! Oh, the Rockets win the game.
Number 4, Penguins legend Sidney Crosby scores the walk-off goal in OT to beat the Utah Hockey Club. Number 3, Ellie Brueggemann gets the putback game winner for Lindenwood.
Down low for Coffee. They turn it over. Nice. Brueggemann gets it back with 2 seconds she has. Unbelievable. Ellie Brueggemann on a broken play.
Number 2, Sokratis Brito makes an amazing walk-off diving catch to give the Leones the championship. Number 1 moment of the week, Caleb Love drains the shot from beyond half court to force overtime for Arizona.
3-point game. Too far. Here's Love for the tie.
Oh! It down the court. But hey, what do I know?
I asked you quickly, and obviously now it comes off as a second guess, but should Iowa State have been thinking?
Holy crap, I had a number of technical difficulties during those goosebump moments of the week. But real quick, the Leones, they win the Dominican Republic LIDOM, LIDOM championship. That basically the Dominican Republic's professional baseball league. Crazy game and a diving catch to win it there. You love it. And I forgot that Utah's hockey team is called the Utah Hockey Club. That's pretty funny. And, of course, the half-court shot is the number one moment of the week. But let's finish out the show here with my Pro Bowl pick. I'm now kind of realizing here that I didn't really talk about the AFC or the NFC championship. I included one moment from each in the goosebump moments of the week. But I don't really do game breakdowns. I don't know. I should have mentioned it, but it's a rematch. It's Eagles Chiefs again. The matchup no one wanted to see. So I'll talk about it more next week. But I will be rooting for this little ticket on that whiteboard. If I'm pointing at it correctly, I could win a pretty penny. You know, not a pretty penny, but you know, I could win a nice $390. If I get the Chiefs win in the Super Bowl next year. But for now, let's talk Pro Bowl. It is the AFC versus the NFC in Orlando. No home team here. It is a pick 'em. Neither team is favored. I don't know why. I don't know. I guess it's just impossible to predict. If you didn't know, it's a flag football game. It's not a normal football game like it used to be, like it maybe should be. But anyways, I don't have much to say on this game. My pick is going to be the NFC minus 115. That's the odds for both teams. They're giving each team an even shot to win, but I think this is an easy win for the NFC here, mainly because Russell Wilson and Drake May are two of the AFC starting quarterbacks, two out of the three. I think Joe Burrow is probably the third. Drake May threw 15 touchdowns this year. Pretty good, and you know, not that many games as a rookie, but he also threw 10 picks. Russell Wilson only played a little over half the year. The fact that those guys are Pro Bowlers is insane. So yeah, give me the NFC, and you know, based on that, I'll end the show here with a JJ Watt tweet that sums this up perfectly. When you get five alternates deep, just call it the participation bowl.